Member for Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey, joins me now to discuss the latest in community news and politics. Hi there, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good to be with you on this wet day.
Yeah, it is a bit like that, isn't it? 11% of the population in Australia now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. We're seeing a number of community cases in the eastern states and now here, unfortunately. Do you reckon the federal government is doing everything it can to get on top of COVID-19?
Well, I think there's two areas that the federal government definitely has responsibility for. One of them is quarantine. And I think we've really missed our opportunity to have some outside of the metropolitan hotel system proper quarantine facilities. And we've seen over and over again right across the nation that that's been often where the transmissions happened. A person has been COVID negative, returned back to the country, been in the hotel quarantine system, and then somehow there's been a leakage with respect to COVID across that scenario. So, you know, I think we are well over a year into this, and I'm personally disappointed that we don't have more facilities, even repurposing some of our existing facilities. You know, we have Woomera, we have a range of facilities that sit in regional Australia where we should be housing people where they're not essentially in a hotel, motel, tower, all sharing the same oxygen. Now, I know that there's been a lot of retrofitting done with respect to that, but I think that that's clearly an area of weakness. And of course, the vaccine rollout has been beset with problems. Now, we do have more Pfizer coming into the country. There are a couple of issues with that. One, I have called for, irrespective of age, people having the choice of vaccine. And I think that that will address much of the hesitancy with people who are over 60. A lot of people that I talk to desperately want to be vaccinated but are concerned about the AstraZeneca, and they're perhaps, you know, 62, 63. I think we should offer everyone the same choice. I jumped on the booking engine, and this is before they opened the new one in Gawler Street in Mount Barker, and my date to get a vaccine was Melbourne Cup Day. To get my first vaccine. And really, you know, I'm super keen to get it. I don't want to jump any queues, but that's pretty ridiculous. When they opened up the Gawler Street one, I've jumped on, and I think my date is now September. But still, you know, when we look to America and we look at, you know, what we've always seen ourselves to have a much better health system than America, when they're rolling out, you know, a million vaccines in a week, I mean, or more, we really need to, I think, pick up the pace there.
Yeah, they're 50% fully vaccinated now. So
yeah,
it seems
and that's
as though
a country with a terrible health system,
yes,
really.
Yep.
And so, you know, we really should be, I think, you know, in a much better place than where we are.
Especially as the federal government is putting these graphic images out of a woman dying when a lot of young people really want to get the vaccine. So do you think that there is hope that this will actually start to gain a bit of pace soon?
Well, I think that's the hope of everyone, because the other side to that is that because we have essentially, you know, ring-fenced Australia to a great extent, is that a lot of people are saying to me, are becoming quite vaccine hesitant, saying, well, I don't need the vaccine because we don't have it here.
No.
But there will be a time when we need to open up our borders. The other area that I think the federal government really needs to work on is how to educate young people. They are entirely looking on social media with respect to the vaccines, and I've now heard from a number of young people who believe that this will affect their reproductive system, have seen fake news around it being installing of microchips in their arms. Now, they're not watching the nightly news. They're not necessarily jumping on the SA Health website, despite my pleas to do so. And so I think we need to be a little bit more creative in that TikTok space, in Snapchat, and actually get some very clear, accurate messaging out there, because we're going to need the younger population vaccinated as well, because we've seen with the Delta strain that that young people are transmitting and also becoming very sick from this strain compared to previous strains of the virus. And my concern is that a lot of young people are getting some very inaccurate and dangerous messaging from those social media platforms that they're on.
Now, the member for Carvel, State Liberal member Dan Cregan, has announced he's stepping down next election to go back into law. Now, while you're in different parties, Rebecca, I get the impression you worked very well together on a number of issues. Do you think this is a loss for the region?
Oh, this is a huge loss for the region. And Dan and I think, always have felt that we all work for the same people, which is the community, and it doesn't matter what colour tie you wear or jacket you wear, you just work together. And it's been a real privilege to work with Dan for the last 3.5 years. I think his leaving will leave a big hole with respect to leadership in our community. In 3.5 years, he's achieved so much, and I really enjoyed working with him in me pushing the federal government for funds, and him and his very strong advocacy for the state government. I mean, you think in 3.5 years, we've got state money for the poor, we've got motor registration here now in the Adelaide Hills, lots of funding for roads. Harndorf has a solution. I mean, he really has worked incredibly hard, and this is all within the backdrop of, you know, the greatest natural catastrophe in the Adelaide Hills since Ash Wednesday. Dan and I started working quite closely together, actually. It was that tragedy of the Adelaide Hills fire. And we thought it would just be better for both of us to jump in the same car and, you know, work through the problems together, because some of them perhaps had a, you know, a state responsibility, some federal. And so I will really miss Dan on a professional and a personal level, and I wish him all the very best.
Yeah, so that'll be happening from next year. So a few more months left of his work, I suppose. And really good news for mobile communication connectivity in Cherry Gardens, I hear.
Well, one by one, we're ticking off the mobile phone black spots right across our community, and I was really pleased to be at the announcement. I lobbied the federal government for, now this isn't in the mobile black spot program per se, but lobbying for direct money for a tower in Cherry Gardens, which, you know, has something. It took 2 years to be an overnight success, but managed to get $220,000 from the federal government, and I very much thank Paul Fletcher, the minister, for listening to me with respect to that whole community. That's a really bad black spot, and we just saw in the last summer that Cherry Gardens and Scott Creek had a fire go through that part of the electorate. There was some state money, so working with Steve Murray, the state member in that area, again, it's about state and federal, not thinking about the colours they wear, collaborating together for the community, the contracts were signed, and construction should finish by, I think, by June at the next year at the very latest. So that'll be a huge win for the Cherry Gardens community, particularly from a safety aspect, but also for those who are running businesses in the community. You know, it's very difficult if you're trying to run a business and you're getting one bar of reception.
Absolutely. Oh, that'll be good to hear. And just lastly, Rebecca Sharkey, you had hundreds of people engage with the Positive Ageing Expos last week, I hear.
We did, and we did it in a very COVID-safe fashion, and we had masks and everything available, but both in the Adelaide Hills and down on the South Coast, we had a fantastic turnout despite some horrid weather. We had some wonderful speakers. Ian Henschke, Graeme Goodings, made everybody really laugh but told his very important story about bowel cancer. We also had Maggie Beer and Ian Yates. And I've got to say, one of the highlights of my career has got to be interviewing Maggie Beer and asking her what is her favourite thing to cook.
So what is it?
It was really good. She loves making roast chicken, but not just a store-bought roast chicken, you know, a real plump, homegrown, free-range roast chicken. So it was really good. But you know, on a very serious note, Maggie was talking about nutrition in aged care, and that's something that she's really driving through her foundation to improve taste and nutrition, but particularly taste and enjoyment, and trying to work with aged care facilities to bring back the joy of food to residents who are living in aged care. and she's doing some tremendous work in that area. And we also talked about people who live alone often when people get older, because often through the death of a partner, they're living alone. And when you live alone, you often don't eat really well. So just some ideas on how to really bring taste, but also make sure you're getting enough nutrients in your food if you're cooking for one. So it was really fantastic. We had lots of wonderful feedback, and I've now had requests to hold positive aging forums in Goolwa, Yankalilla, and also around the Aldinga area. So we'll work on the Aldinga area for this for later on in this year, and then the other regions heading towards, I think, you know, the beginning of next year. It's a huge amount of work, and my team, they did an extraordinary job, but we wanted to do them really, really well. But it was like organising a wedding.
So I bet. Oh, that's fantastic. We're going to have to leave it there, Rebecca Sharkey, but great to have you on the program today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.